The epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Let no one transgress and overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew chapter 17. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them, and said to them, Arise, and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one, until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today is the second Sunday of Lent, but it is also March the 7th, which is the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. So today is his feast. A few words of St. Thomas Aquinas before we proceed. St. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican priest. He was born in 1224 AD and died in 1275 at the age of 50. And he is considered by the Catholic Church to be the greatest of all the teachers of the faith down the last 2,000 years. He's the greatest of the teachers, the greatest of them. He's called the greatest of the doctors of the Church, the angelic doctor. Angelic because of his angelic purity, his realm of virtue, but also because of his angelic wisdom, that he had the wisdom of the angels, who surpassed the wisdom of man. And so he is the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. And then also, this St. Thomas, his greatest work is the Summa Theologica, the summary of the summit of theology, in which he summarizes all of the Catholic teaching concerning the Gospels, concerning the life of Christ and the man and his nature. He shows the perfect harmony, among many other things. This greatest teacher of our faith down the last 2,000 years shows the perfect harmony between reason and divine grace, between the natural and the supernatural. He shows clearly that the God of the who created the mystical body of Christ, which is the Catholic Church, the God that became man and died upon on the cross for our sins, and the God that created the sun, the moon, and the stars and sustains all things is one and the same God. And that there is a harmony in the behavior of these things. That God sustained the tree on which he was crucified. He sustained the nails, and he was the God that controlled all of nature as well as supernature, and that there is and there must be a perfect harmony between the natural and the supernatural. And he describes the nature of evil in a way that no one else has ever been able to clearly describe it. He gets right down to the principles and the depth of the... He gets always to the first causes and the first principles of everything that he discusses. And he always clearly explains the opinions of his opponents. And he is always fair with the enemies of the truth. And he holds up the teaching of the enemies of the truth. He explains their teaching clearly, and then he refutes it. And so he is not afraid to uphold, understand clearly the teaching of the enemies of the church. And since the time of St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the important things that priests are supposed to do when they study inside of the seminary is to learn the doctrines of the, at least the principles of the doctrines of the enemies of the church, so that we might understand their errors, where they speak the truth and where they are in error. And we communicate then in order to be able to correct them and bring them to the truth. And so we're not afraid of coming into contact with the teachings of those who are in error so that we might correct them. And so St. Thomas Aquinas gives us the principles to correct the errors of the modern world. He shows the importance of reason, says that virtue is to act according to right reason. And that when we act according to right reason, we are virtuous, and that supernatural grace comes in and sanctifies this virtue of right reason so that our natural virtue becomes supernatural virtue by the influence of grace. And so, St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest of the teachers, he is compared with another great teacher, which is St. Augustine. In most of St. Thomas Aquinas' writings, he is quoting St. Augustine and following St. Augustine, interpreting and understanding St. Augustine. They are the two great teachers of our faith down the last 2,000 years. St. Augustine, the greatest of the fathers of the church. St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest of all. And each of the popes, from the death of St. Thomas Aquinas in 1275 until the present, have each of them spoken of St. Thomas Aquinas and how important it is that Catholics learn through his eyes that the teaching of St. Thomas is the teaching of the church. That's what pope after pope has said. We follow St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest of the teachers that God has brought to this earth, and so in the last 2,000 years. And so we must honor St. Thomas today. And he is the patron of Catholic schools and sin, patron of seminaries. And so in those places, or in the seminary, for instance, today, the seminaries throughout the world and the society, there will be a first-class feast today of St. Thomas Aquinas, which will be taking precedence over the Sunday because of the seminary. But in any case, it's a little concerning him there. Now, a few words concerning the gospel. Christ is transfigured before the apostles, Peter, James, and John. And this transfiguration, in which he shows his natural glory, he shows the beauty of his body as it is and as it should be seen, because his divinity is united to it. He shows the beauty of his body in a way that no one had ever seen it before. Peter, James, and John saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then also, he communicates with Moses and Elias, and they have a conversation. And this conversation can be heard by Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John are excited. They are excited to be in the presence of the Lord, excited to see Him in His glory, and they are excited about the fact that they are seeing Moses and Elias. What Jew would not want to see Moses and Elias? And there they are in the flesh, speaking with Jesus Christ. And this is what Bishop Sheen says, an example of consolation in the spiritual life. St. Ignatius warns in his retreat, the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and we cover an Ignatian retreat, that consolation is very often wasted. And the great example of wasted consolation It was when Peter, James, and John were standing on top of the mountain with our Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing Moses and Elias, they were excited to be there. They were happy to be there. And so they said, all three of them, but really through the mouthpiece of Peter, St. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build one tent for Thee, one tent for Moses, and one tent for Elias. He misunderstands in an infinite number of ways. First of all, there shouldn't be three tents. It should only be one. Because Moses and Elias only live for Christ. They will not be in another tent. And then also, why were they on top of the mountain discussing? There is a sense of the transitory. There's something temporary going on here. It's only for a short time that they're having this conversation. Only for a short time that Jesus Christ is showing His glory. And why is He doing that? To instill strength into St. Peter, St. James, and St. John. To turn them from Peter, James, and John into St. Peter, St. James, and St. John. And it didn't work. It's one of the examples in the life of Jesus Christ where on the human level, He was not a success. He was laying the preparation for those three apostles to stand firm with Him at the Mount of Olivet and to be at the foot of the cross near Him on the Mount of Calvary. And they failed. He would have to be comforted by angels. It was Jesus Christ's firm desire that when He would go through that agony in the garden, that after those 3 hours, He would come to Peter, James, and John, and they would comfort Him. He did not want them to die with Him. He simply wanted them to comfort Him. But they could not comfort Him unless they watched and prayed. They had nothing to meditate upon. They had no meat in their bones, on their bones of their spiritual life. And having no meat on the bones of their spiritual life, they had no strength. And so when the trial came, they were tired and they fell asleep. And our Lord Jesus Christ is putting meat into the bones during the time of consolation. He's putting muscles, He's strengthening the muscles, healing wounds. So that when the future time of desolation comes, we will persevere through it. But we waste the time of consolation. St. Peter makes an infinite number of mistakes on top of that mountain. Let's build three tents. There should only be one. Let's build the tent. There shouldn't be a tent. Let's leave the 9 apostles at the bottom of the mountain. Leave them alone. Let's abandon them. They should not be abandoned. Let's stay here and have fun. That's not the purpose of living on this earth. We must go somewhere else. St. Peter will spend the rest of his life after the resurrection meditating on his mistakes, coming into an understanding of what Jesus Christ really wanted from him during those 3.5 years and how He failed him. Not only 3 times when He was asked if He knew the man, but He failed him many other times. And He laid the foundations by His behavior during those 3.5 years for that fatal moment when He would be asked by a girl, "You are one of His apostles," and He would say, cursing and swearing, "I know not the man." He who said He would die rather than deny Christ. St. Peter is making many mistakes to arrive at this point. One of them is here in the gospel today. Perhaps this is one reason why this gospel is put in the season of Lent. We think this gospel will be one more appropriately put in the Eastertide. But the church puts it in the season of Lent to remind us it is God who is going to be crucified. And that while it is a beautiful thing that He is transfigured before His apostles, those very same apostles, Peter, James, and John, are going to be asked. He made 2 special requests of Peter, James, and John. Come up with me to the mountain of transfiguration, just the 4 of us. And they rejoiced and were happy to do it. Come up with me to this area in the mountain of Olivet, to the Garden of Gethsemane, just the 3 of us. of the four of us, comfort me, watch and pray, and they couldn't do it. They eagerly enjoyed the good times, but they didn't have the strength for the hard times. They wasted consolation. What are we going to do to properly exercise our free will during the time of consolation? St. Ignatius gives a principle. And he says, the first principle of consolation is humility. We need to recognize that we don't deserve the gifts that God has given us. Consolation is defined as good spiritual feeling. Desolation is bad spiritual feeling. And we all experience good spiritual feelings from time to time, and at other times we experience bad spiritual feelings. But neither of these things say the condition of the soul. The soul is not holy when it experiences consolation, and the soul is not unholy when it experiences desolation. That consolation and desolation are only feelings. They are important. They are part of the spiritual life. But love is something that rises above the feelings. And it is stable whether we feel good or whether we feel bad. We need times of feeling good because it's too much for us if we only felt bad. And so Christ gives us little consolations from time to time in the spiritual life because of our weakness. But we are supposed to take advantage of these consolations. What did St. Peter not do during the time of consolation? And it is something that we do not do. He rejoiced in the moment of seeing Moses and Elias. He was probably looking for a camera. Somebody take a picture so I can show this to my buddies that I was standing right next to Moses. I was standing right next to Elias. And only James and John and myself were able to do this. No one else was able to be here. This is really great. And he was so immersed in his feeling of greatness at this moment that he did not listen. That's the common mistake in the time of consolation. We don't listen. You know that people never convert when things are going well. It's just one of those things. I just got a raise. I just won the lottery. I need to go find Christ. Not one of the things on the list. It's not on the list of things to do. It just isn't. When things are going well, we don't listen. And this is our downfall. When we are feeling good, we should listen. As the proverb goes, a gift when we are healthy is gold. A gift when we are sick is silver. A gift when we are dead is lead. We waste the golden times of our lives. When we are feeling good, when we feel happy, when we're having a spiritual consolation, we are proud. We think we're doing fine the way we are. We do not give thanks to God. We do not adore. We do not open our ears. I am a success. Why do I need to listen to you? I've already been through all that. I know all the answers. These are the words of many souls in consolation. Consolation is a very dangerous time in the spiritual life because it easily fosters pride, which is the most dangerous of all the sins. We must be very careful when things are going well. How many people have experienced some kind of spiritual fulfillment or some kind of spiritual consolation, and from that moment on, they are mystics? They had a special inspiration from God. They saw something no one else saw. They understood something no one else understands. They are better and smarter than anyone else. And what priest is going to tell me that he knows better? I had a consolation. And what is unfortunate is that many times the consolation was really from God, and it wasn't even a true self-delusion. And we took it and we twisted it. And we took it and we turned it into sin. We can take everything and anything and turn it into sin, even the gift of God. The gift of our intellect we've already used for sin. The gift of our will we've already used for sin. The gift of our body we've already used for sin. The gift of our passions, the gift of our clothing, the gift of our possessions, the gift of our health. We've used all these things to commit sins. And then he gives us a spiritual consolation, and we find a way to turn it into sin. Don't waste consolation. What are we supposed to do when we experience a good spiritual light or a sense of sorrow or a sense of understanding? Number one, adore. Lay prostrate before the feet of God and recognize that we do not deserve and we have not earned the right to receive this gift. Number two, prepare. Store up the energy that God has given you. Listen carefully to all the words spoken, like the soldiers before they go into a battle. They gather into a certain room with the commander. And the commander says, you are going to take out this pillbox. You're going to charge up that mountain. You're going to carry this. You're going to carry that. You're going to blow this up. You're going to blow that up. You're going to go here. You're going to go there. And they listen in great attentiveness. I remember one pilot my uncle told me, it was not my blood uncle, I mentioned him from time to time, but he was in the World War II, and he said, I always had a hard time paying attention in school. But when we would have those meetings of where we were supposed to be during the battle, I was really attentive, because if I forgot something, I might die. And he was attentive. We are not attentive when we're getting our battle plans. Here in the sermon, I give you the battle plan. The next time you get stuck in a traffic jam, don't get mad. You drive out at the end of Watkins Road, you get on I-70, there's an accident, there's a traffic jam, you start cursing right over there. You heard the battle plan, you made the resolution, you went out and you started cursing. What happened? Wasted consolation, that's what that is. We must listen during the time of consolation so that we will remember during the time of desolation. That's what St. Peter didn't do. And then when the hard time hits, we'll remember, this is what I'm supposed to do. As they say of soldiers, the soldier fights as he trains. It's been proven time and time again. Train well, you'll fight well. Your spiritual training comes in sermons. Your spiritual training comes in prayers in the church. Train well. And when the battle comes, you will fight well. But if you don't train well and you waste the time of consolation, then when the time of desolation comes, you'll become depressed. You won't make the right choices. You'll spiral down and down and down and down. God gives you another boost, another consolation, another time to prepare, and we waste it, and we waste it, and we waste it. Let's not waste it anymore. And then we'll close it at that. Let's choose our consolations well. And then another mystery of the spiritual life. When a man becomes a saint, as we read in the lives of the saints, the desolations turn into consolations. Those things that the world calls sorrows become joys. And so they are constantly in a state of peace and constantly in a state of consolation, even if the devil is attacking them. And this is one of the mysteries of supernatural life, one of the many paradoxes of coming into contact with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must begin with our ears. Fides ex auditu. Faith comes by hearing. Hear attentively. And then when the desolation comes, remember what you have heard in the time of consolation, and then strive your best in your own weak way to put it into practice. And I'll close it at that again, and God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.